that we find that people want to control, want to rule us, want to take over, want to dominate us. They're full of themselves. They're full of pride. Pride. What's in the middle of pride? Big I. I am better than you. I am going to rule over you. You know, the wars that we've had in our nations have often been started because of the I's. I will have power to rule and to reign over you. I watched a film last night. Grace tells me I've seen it before. And I have an absolute brilliant memory of being able to remember things. But obviously, I must have had a massive senior moment. And when I mean massive, I mean a catastrophic senior moment. Because, here we go, I have no recollection of anything in that film. Now Grace says she has. It's like, well, I don't know how she has got some recollection, because she falls asleep when we watch TV. And she says she's seen it. And I know that I have never seen it before. So I don't know where she was. I don't know who she was with. Anyway, that's by the by. But the film was, it was on World War II. And it was on a situation where the Third Reich, Hitler determined that we would rule for 1,000 years. And that he would have everything. And it was all about him. It was all about the I in him. And he stole all the jewels, the gold, the paintings, the artworks, and took them from every nation that he entered, because he wanted to satiate his own ego. He wanted to take over everything, and he wanted everything to be focused on him.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? So many people want it. It's all about them. Focusing on themselves. The worst thing you can do, you know, is to focus on yourself. Because it is a downward spiral. Because your world is only small. You see, you and I are just one individual. And there's more to this world than you or me. A lot more. The problem is, you see, the I in every one of us wants to rule somebody. But the I is not there to rule somebody. And God, because of the I in our lives, it brings sin. Sin. And who's in the middle of sin? I. Who's in the middle of your sin?
Me.
You. I'm not in the middle of your sin. You, the I of you, is in the middle of sin. Are you catching the drift at the moment? Can you see what I'm trying to... I'm working through step by step that, you know, first of all, we started with I, full of ourselves. Lucifer took it on board and became so prideful that the I in him, in the end, brings humanity into sin. Because Lucifer comes down to the earth as he's driven out of heaven. And he says, I will destroy. I will destroy God's creation. I will take it over. And I will be worshipped. Pride. And he's attacking society. He comes into the Garden of Eden. And he brings doubt. He brings unbelief. And Adam and Eve listen to him. Folks, don't listen to the wrong voices. Don't listen to the wrong voice. Don't listen to yourself. Listen to the Word of God. And in listening to the Word of God, you will hear the truth. And the Bible says the truth will set you free. Listen to the Word of God. Because if you listen to yourself, you'll go down the pathway of sin. You go down the pathway where you're rejected. Not just by your friends, so-called, but even by your enemies. And finally, you'll be rejected by the devil. And you've already rejected God when you walk down that pathway of sin. When you allow your pride to get in the way. Now, no, we're not like that, are we? We're not full of pride, are we? No, no, not me. I'm not full of pride. Somebody said something about me last week and I'm very upset and I will never speak to them again. What's that? Pride. They'll never get a chance to do that to me again. What's that all about? Pride. Now, you've never done that before, have you? No, no. We'll be casting out lying demons at the end of the service. Refusing to acknowledge that I am the problem. I'm the problem. That's why Jesus came. Because you and me, we are the problem. We've allowed sin to actually take its rule and reign over us. We've allowed pride to bring us to a place of a sinful nature. We've allowed our pride to corrupt us and cause us to sin. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. That's going further towards the front, if you're already in Isaiah. 2 Chronicles and verse 32. Sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 26. I'll wait while you get there. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 26. Everybody there? Good. In my version it says, however, Ezekiah humbled the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in that day. Ezekiah was quite a proud king. He was a good king, but he was proud of it. You know, we can be like that, can't we? You know, I'm good at what I do, and I'm proud of it. Oh, yeah. That starts to fall. Oops, today, is it? Daniel's good at worship. He's proud of it. And next thing you know, half a dozen strings break all at once, you know. Or the batteries go flat on him. We're called to give honour to God. We're called to honour God. And as we honour Him, it says, He will lift us up. He will establish us. You do not have the ability to establish yourself. You can look back, as they say, and look back at World War II. Some say it's a long, long time ago, that. It's not a time to forget. During that time, it was about subduing everybody. It was actually saying to people, you're worth less than me. That's what it was about. It was saying, you have little value. And in some cases, the value you have is not worth keeping. And people were massacred for an ego of pride. It's still around today. That same spirit of pride that brings so much sin, that same spirit of pride that seeks to control nations, that seeks to prevent the gospel of Jesus being declared, that same spirit stands against God this day. It's still in Europe, only they're doing it a different way. They're trying to get all your money. They're trying to dictate all the laws. And they know how to do it, and they're prideful about it. God will bring down. We need to humble ourselves in the presence of God. And as we humble ourselves, then God will lift us up. And He will exalt us and bring us to a place of glory. I want you to turn back into Isaiah again, please. And Isaiah chapter 14. And we read there earlier where Satan was saying, Lucifer was saying, or being told, how you have fallen from heaven, in verse 12, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You know, this angel was classed as a son of God. He was the worship leader in God's kingdom. He was specifically designed and prepared for worship. Two of our guys are in Bible college. That's great. God is preparing them in some form for ministry. But don't let your ministry get in the way of God. Don't let the ministry get in the way of relationship with the Heavenly Father. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know and the relationship that you have with who you know. Because you see, you can know absolutely nothing. You can absolutely be totally uneducated, but know the one who knows all things. And have a deep relationship with Him, the Father. And in having that relationship, you're secure in Christ. You're not afraid of your past. You're not afraid of your future. You stand firm in that relationship that is there for you in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus. You see, you have not got to be dictated to by your past. And so often we are. Our past will dictate our future. We were wounded. We went into a relationship and something went wrong. And you say, I will never, ever let that happen to me again. And you build walls. You build ivory towers around you to protect you. And you say, I will stop it. You won't. Don't let the past dictate you for your future. That which dictates your future is your personal, one-to-one, day-to-day relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what gives you your future. I know when I quit working in industry and earning a lot of money, and folk turn around and said, that's all you're travelling over and done with, you know, you're not going to do much after that. Well, in those next 2 or 3 years, we travelled more miles than we'd ever travelled. We went to places we'd never been to, we met people we'd never even heard of. And why? Because God was at work, because we were determined that our life was about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and not our past. My relationship, the things that I do, are not related to my bank book. They're related to my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My health is not about my relationship to my bank book. My health is not about just eating the right food. My health is about the relationship I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my healing. He's my hope. He's my future. Without Him, I have no future that's worth living. I hear people say, oh, when you're dead, you're dead. Really? Yeah, you're surely dead. There's eternal death for the soul. And that's called eternal torment in hell with Satan. Hell was never made for you and me. Hell was not made for humanity. It was made for the devil and his demons that rebelled and rejected God, that rejected the purity and the holiness of God. But today mankind rejects God, rejects the holiness, rejects the purity of God. I went and had my hair cut yesterday. No, I didn't. Friday I went and had my hair cut. And I sat in the chair and I was listening to a conversation. And society is getting itself into such a situation that it just accepts anything corrupt and ugly and impure, and they say, well, the law says it's okay, so it's fine. There's a verse in Hebrews, and it says this: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same in the past, the same today, the same in this very day, And do you know something? And in tomorrow, in the future, he will be the same still. In other words, he is not going to change. So guess what? You and I will have to change if we want to develop our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You change. Because God says, I'm not changing. He knows the truth. He is the truth. He's the life. He's the way. And the pathway that you and I walk, the pathway of sin, is the pathway of death and an eternal death. It's the pathway of torture. It's the pathway of pain. You hear people when tragedies happen in their lives and they say, why has God done this? Why has God allowed this to happen? God didn't allow it to happen. You chose to reject God. You chose to say, stuff you, God, I don't need you. You chose to say to God, you don't even exist. I don't need you. And God has said, fine. He will not force himself upon you. The Bible says, we heard it the other week, Joshua says, choose you this day, who you shall serve. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve drink? Are you going to serve the cigarette? Are you going to serve the drug? Are you going to serve the prostitute? Are you going to be self-serving? Or are you going to choose life and not death? Today, what will you choose? If you choose Jesus, you choose life. Yeah, but you don't know the pains that I've gone through in my life. No, neither do you know the pains that I went through in my life. But I have made a decision. I am choosing not to relive my history. Nail it to the cross. Give it to God. Let him begin to minister healing into your spirit. Let him minister healing into your mind. Let the oil of the Word of God, let the oil of joy just come in your life and minister healing to you. How's he going to do it? He's going to do it by one way. He's going to nail it all. He's going to nail all the eyes to the cross. He's going to nail all the eyes to the cross. He's going to take my sin. He took the sins of the world. The very self-centeredness of the world. And went to the cross. You know, Satan said, I will lift my throne above the Most High. But God passes judgment in Isaiah through his prophet. In verse 15, and says, nevertheless, you will be thrust down to hell, to the recesses of the pit. Is that the destination that you want? Drugs, alcohol, many addictions will take you on the wrong journey. Immoral thinking, immoral acts will take you on a journey that you never planned. People over the years, and I've been a Christian now for some 50 years, so when people start telling me God's not real, excuse me, I've been doing this for 50 years. I know whether he's real or not. He's certainly real to me. And you will never, ever convince me that God is not real. I have seen blind eyes opened. I have seen deaf ears unstopped. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen God moving mightily. I've seen God move great things. I've seen God do miracles. And you tell me, and you've never seen him, you don't believe in him, and you tell me he doesn't exist. Just because, like the child who puts his hands over his eyes and says, you can't see me. Guess what? God can see you. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. The trouble is, we're so full of pride that we don't want what God's got. Because we know better. We think we know better. I guess when I first met Daniel, I guess he knew better. Yeah? I guess when he first met Grace and I, he probably wondered who these two crazy people were. Talking about this God. This God that can do miracles. This God who actually wants me to have a good future. Yeah. This God who has a plan and a purpose for my life? Yeah. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will love and trust Him. It is about trusting God. Because I tell you what, you can't even trust yourself. How many times have you made a mistake? You chose to do something that messed you up. You did it. Don't blame somebody else. Be smart enough, be honest enough to look yourself in the mirror and say, you stupid fool, you did it. It wasn't the devil that made you do it. Jesus died on a cross, and He died and He stripped the devil of every piece of authority he has over mankind. So all you have to do is choose you this day who you will serve. Will you serve God or will you serve the devil? Will you be self-serving? Some people are imprisoned by a white stick. I don't mean a blind man's walking stick, neither. Just in case. I mean a small stick that is what? 40 millimeters long. And they light it. And they're, oh, I needed that. And that white stick holds them a prisoner from escaping the torment that they live in. You might say, oh, don't talk gaff, Andrew. Listen, the more people that we have tried to put into Teen Challenge, into Carpenter's Arms, into rehab, and the moment that we say to them, you can't have any white sticks, can't do it, can't live without it, you were born without it and you lived then, what suddenly changed that caused you to be dependent on a small white stick of tobacco? And then they'll turn around to me and say, I'm in charge of my life. I can do what I want. As long as the small white stick lets you. Hello? Am I speaking truth or not? In some cases, imagine this is a can. You see them all the time walking around the streets. There they are. They've got the can in their hand. Gives them all power. You know? There they are. Strutting along. Got the can. You know? This is me. There they are. It's a wrong spirit. It's a wrong spirit. You see, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no hangovers. There's no bad effects on your body, on your kidneys and your liver. But when you take the spirit of man that comes in a can or a bottle, it begins to destroy the body. It begins to destroy your mind. You can't think straight. You can't talk straight. You can't walk straight. Even laying down, you're not sure if you stood up or laid down. Come on. Hey, I've been there twice. I've been there twice, long time ago. Decided it's not worth the third visit. When I found Jesus, He said, I've come to set you free. When I found Jesus, He said, I've come to give you life. This takes your money. The alcohol, it takes money off you. I remember the first early days when we started doing Teen Challenge in Doncaster. I remember a guy, an alcoholic, and he said to me these words. He said, this drink has taken my family from me. This drink has cost me over £70,000. I said, what? I said, explain to me. He says, I lost my house. I lost my family. I lost everything because of this drink. You know what happens? Everybody says, go on, just have one. Just one. Let me tell you this. You can't eat at the devil's table and use a long spoon and think you're safe. Because I'll tell you this. He won't grab you by the hand. He will grab you by the elbow. He reaches deep inside of you to destroy you. That's what he does. He's a destroyer. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Amen. Yeah, you've got it, Rebecca. He's come to give you life.
Amen.
Jesus said this, Satan, Lucifer, comes to steal, to kill and destroy. The Bible says choose you. Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the destroyer of life? Or are you going to serve the giver of life? These are the decisions. You know, folks say, oh, I don't know. It's a tough decision. No, it's not. It's an easy decision. Walking it through may be a little tough because you're to fight. Turn with me to, I better rush on a bit. I'm just getting involved in this. Philippians, moving into the New Testament in your Bible. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Read from verse 5. Having this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard it equality with God in things to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything that has a name shall and will bow its knee to the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing will exalt itself. Nothing will rise up and says, I am greater than Jesus. Nothing can do this. Do you know what Jesus did? He did something that each and every one of us has to do. And we have to come to a place, the I in us has to come to a place of absolute submission. You see, the center of submission, you and I have to say, yes, Lord. We bow the knee and we submit to him, because it's all about him.
Yeah.
Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To submit to Christ is to gain things.
Yeah.
So many people say, oh, you know, I remember once somebody said to my mother-in-law, they suddenly discovered she was a Christian. I don't know who they thought they were, but they said, my mother-in-law dressed well, and they said to her, oh, you're a Christian. Now I can see why you like it, why you dress like you do. In other words, they were trying to imply that she didn't dress well. They were trying to imply that she was poor. Listen, it's not about the suit. It's not about the car. It's not about the guitar. It's not about your talents. It's not about the house you live in. It's about the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes you rich. The blessings of God will come upon you when you put Jesus first, when you put God first, when again you submit to him. And in submitting to him, we see God moving in our lives. And Jesus came, the Son of God, and he came to the place of submission. He surrendered the I in himself and bowed the knee and stretched out his arms on a cross and said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. In the center of sacrifice. Yep. It's the eye. The center of sacrifice is the eye. Jesus said, I will sacrifice myself for all of humanity. that all of humanity can come to a place of having a personal relationship with me and my Father and the Holy Spirit. That everything will be restored back to its fullness. Everything will be restored back to its original state. Spotless, pure, without sin, uncorrupted. That's what God is aiming for. God's plan has not changed. As I said earlier, He said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The plan has not changed. The plan is that each and every one of us will be redeemed back to God. And we see right in the middle of crucified is the I have been crucified. Yeah, well, we're just sticking on focusing on the centre one. Because it's the centre. Jesus has to be the centre of our life. Grace is not the centre of my life. She's just slightly off centre. Because you see, for Grace to have a loving, kind and good husband, Christ needs to be the centre of that person's life. For you to have a good mother, Christ needs to be the centre. For you to have a good relationship that is secure and stable, Christ is the centre. Because I tell you what, if a little white stick takes centre stage, if a bottle, a can takes centre stage, if a needle takes centre stage, then guess what? You're on dangerous ground. Because each of those bring death. Each of those, the end of those, is a body bag. I don't apologize for the way I'm preaching today. Because I know this, the word says the truth will set you free. Now you make the decisions. You might say, well, I don't do any of those things. Well, no, well, take warning. Take heed what is being said. Because the journey, that journey down that pathway, those pathways, leads to an eternal damnation, leads to hell, leads to eternal death. But there is one way that leads to eternal life. And that is through the cross. It is through following the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of us could look at our past and say, well, I've made so many mistakes, and how can God forgive me? He does. He will. He forgives you because it's not about what you do or how good you can be. It's about what Jesus has done for you to restore you back into the presence of God. And you need to begin the journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us can turn around and say, well, I've made mistakes, I've fallen down and I've crashed and I've done some stupid things. And I guess most of us, in fact, no, I'll clarify that, all of us have done that. Everyone, if you look in a mirror, you could look at yourself and say, you have made the most dumbest decision today. You have made the most silliest decision of your life. Why did you do that? I'll tell you why we did it. We did it because we disconnected with Jesus. We began to grow cold in our relationship with God. But there's a verse of scripture that encourages me. And it's in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. And this is what the prophet says. He says, do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I shall arise. Though I fall, I shall arise. You know, you can be in a boxing match. You can be hit a few times and you can get knocked down. But if you get up, you're not knocked out. You're still in the fight. The Bible, the word, you know, we sing that song about fighting the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand on the promises of God. You know, in our relationships that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, there are promise after promise after promise. We have to begin to quote the promises. We have to begin to quote this book. The truth of this book will set us free. And when I fall, I shall arise. And every time you make a mistake, you have a choice to make. Do I stay down? Or do I get up? Do I stay down? Or do I get up? What are you going to do? Get up. I'm glad about that. And in some cases, we've all been tempted to fall. True?
Yes.
And in some cases, we've taken the bait.
Yes.
And we've fallen. But I thank God the work of the cross is bigger than any mistake that you or I can ever make. And the moment that we turn our eyes back to the cross, the moment that we turn our eyes to Jesus and say, Lord, I am sorry. I'm coming home.
Amen.
I'm coming back, Lord. I'm coming back. This will be a song or a chorus we sing, isn't it? I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Got to change that slightly. I'm coming back to the heart of God. I'm coming back to the heart of God. Need to realize what God is doing for us. What are you going to do with the I in you? Are you going to surrender the I to Christ and say, now it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me? Are you going to surrender to Him? You know, when we look at everything that's being said, begin to realize that Him, I am in Him. Yeah. It's simple, you know, folks. But I am in Him. Is Jesus in you? Are you in Jesus? Be determined to walk the walk. Be determined to walk the walk. We sang a song, Love So Amazing, So Divine. Demands my soul, my life, my all. God doesn't want your small change. God does not want a few hours from you. He wants everything. Because God Himself gave everything. And so today, I lay the challenge before each and every one of us, saved, unsaved, whatever state you're in, make a fresh commitment to surrender the I to God. And in surrendering the I to God, we give Him center place in our lives. We give Him the seat of authority to direct us, to lead us into victory and into truth. Don't let the cans, don't let the bottles, don't let the things you watch on TV or on the internet, don't let the things at school, at college, at work, don't let drugs, don't let nothing stand between you and God. Don't let it happen. Don't even let a relationship stand between you and God. Because if you do, you could lose your life. If you become disconnected with God, you could lose eternal life in Christ Jesus. You say, oh, Andrew, you're being tough on us today. I'm telling you the way the Word of God sees it and says it. And it's important. We're dealing with eternal things. We're dealing with life in eternity. We're dealing with souls that God gave everything that He might bring back everything to Himself. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father God, we just bow before You right now. And Father, if there's anything inside of me that is I, and Father, just remove it. Take it away, O God, that it might be all of You and all of Jesus. And that as I give what I have to You, You, Lord, give me eternal life in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, for those that are tormented in spiritual dimensions. I pray, O God, for those tormented by addictions over what sort they may be. Lord, I just ask that, Lord, we would surrender to You and not to our addictions. We would surrender to the God, the Creator of all things, and not to our addictions that bring death, but surrender to a God who will bring us life. So, Lord, I just pray that as we bow before You right now, and as each and every one of us makes that fresh surrender and commitment to You, Father, come into my life, Lord, and be the Lord. Be the King. Be the Saviour of my soul. And give me again that eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen.